When the world turns against you, at least there's a backup. Welcome to Fate and Fotune. For those who've joined us for the first time, Fate and Fotune takes place at the turn of the 20th century, where sword and steel meets magic and monsters. We're using Weird Games' Through the Breach role-playing system. I'm your Fate Master, Danny, and today's Fated are...
Jed, as Julius Ignis. Matt, playing Sapper Carlson.
And Nate, as Owen Gunn.
Whether our cast meets their fate, or find themselves in good fortune, we do hope you enjoy today's tale. The engines of the Hellion hum more quietly as Owain Gunn topped up its fuel for the last leg of the journey. All in all, the pilots that the Fated had effectively abducted were all right folk, and had surrendered control of the craft to the group with almost open arms, surprisingly excited by the adventure. He sealed the cap to the fuel chamber and brought the empty canister back to the middle of the hold. Julius had been uncharacteristically quiet following the loss of his budding love, and Owain knew better than to try and get him to open up. He'd offered the poor sod a flask of gin, but there was a little else he'd felt comfortable doing. Instead, he sat with Thomas, the lad who had also been impacted by Dahlia's fall. The teenager gripped the instructions that Dahlia had given him, detailing the escape plan and the name of a contact to meet with once they were in the other world. Thomas was clearly in an unstable state, but seemed to give himself support when leaning on Owain, after he had risked his life for the boy. Owain glanced up at Sapper Morton, the gardener with a surprisingly diverse skill set, tinkering with the small automaton they had found in that dreadful warehouse. The robot appeared to be slowing down over the course of the 6 days they had journeyed, and the light in the Soulstone eye was dim. 2 hours later, one of the pilots called back from the cockpit, a voice a little nervous. "Gentlemen, we're approaching Breachtown. Luckily for you, there's always a popular market on before the Iron Ram leaves the station that'll provide some cover. We've adjusted course to land in the wrong port, and I'll open the bay doors away from the guardsmen, so you might be more likely to slip by. But if you do get caught, we're going to say we were held hostage, okay?" The question was clearly rhetorical, and so silence fell in the hold as the Hellion began its descent. Landing away from the traditional air docks, the Hellion touched ground at a private landing port to the east of the city. As the bay doors released, Owain caught a glimpse of the ground crew running up to the cockpit. The co-pilot's flicks of a hand indicated for the Fated to evacuate, while the pilot saw to it that the ground crew was distracted. It wasn't long before the group reached the high streets of Breachtown. Much had changed since the city was referred to as Santa Fe. Most pressing was, of course, the swirling portal which connects this world to another. The Great Breach draws the eye of any who enter the city, and the architecture had been designed so that all streets had full view of its majesty. The streets of Breachtown were filled with the red dusters of the Guild, both stationary outposts and patrols alike. The Breach was, after all, the only known way of crossing into the other world, and the resources it held. Many years ago, there had been a power struggle for control, and ever since, the Guild has held monopoly on passings through. So, you've managed to make it past anyone who may have been waiting at the landing pad, and are now arriving to the City True. You can see in front of you that there are these Guild outposts, and there doesn't seem to be a way into the city without going through one of the checks.
So, gents, how do you want to play this?
Well, I'd say just walk up like we own the place.
Okay, but we don't.
No, this is true.
And don't those Guild people sort of want us dead?
What? Well, yes, this is also true. I am open to alternative suggestions.
I don't mind if we die. I've lived through so much. What is death? I've questioned it so many times.
Little Thomas pulls out the scrap of paper that he's been gripping onto, and you can see that it's actually quite a thick envelope, and he looks up at Erwine, which says, "We need to get through."
Tom, oh, it's okay, we're all grieving. It's okay.
Yes, what, right, Julius. Just,
have you seen this kid? He's grown up so much now. I'm gonna take care of you.
Yeah, who's gonna take care of Julius, my
Julius, friend? I think it would be pertinent if you played the strong and silent type for
You know what? I think we just jump off this ship and we storm the front. We take them all on. It was the way Dahlia would want it to be.
You mean take on the guild?
I mean, what's left to live for anyway?
you realise that Dahlia could be on the other side of that portal, right?
She was eaten by a whale. You've seen it. I've seen it. She dropped like 200 feet. Oh, I don't know. Into the ocean. The cold ocean.
Yes. Oh. But there is a good... Now listen to me. Listen to me. This is just the thing. But there is a good chance that she could have used her fancy-pantsy magic stuff to go into the portal-like place, innit?
Coldest knows the thing is magic. It was a freak wave. Ah, no.
So, Erwine, you notice that Thomas is kind of looking at you with stars in his eyes at just the hope of maybe seeing her again.
Yeah, so, that's right, Tom, my lad. Yeah, so, because she used magic, wasn't she?
So, yeah.
Like, she could have definitely, like, opened a portal to take herself.
I see what you're doing.
To the other side of that big swirly breach thing.
I go up to Owain, just whisper in his ear, like, I see what you're saying, you know, just we'll just play it like she's alive for him. For the boy. Yeah, okay. I can do that.
I mean, it's mostly for you. I'm not going to lie, it's mostly for you. Julius, I think he's actually going to be okay.
But, I'm okay. I'm the most emotionally stable person here right now.
So while you two are talking, you notice a small group that must have been travelling together passing towards the guild at this point, and you notice that there's so many people here, they're quite relaxed on their checks as they're kind of flicking through papers, just going, yeah.
I mean,
hey, you know what? We might be able to get through that.
Yeah, okay. I suppose we might not have to fight. There's a lot of innocents down there, and I wouldn't want to kill them all, you know, in my ultimate power.
These hands of mine have caused enough pain for a while.
Mine too. They were once hands of a lover, of a husband. Oh, now of a widow. I can keep it together. I can keep it together.
Julius, you met Dahlia for one night, mate.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's the closest you'd ever been to. Such a lovely girl.
I mean, the way you're going on, I think it's the closest you're ever going to get again.
Okay, so is this just Julius being touch-starved, basically?
Not had the touch of anyone.
Have you got any, Owain, have you got any, whiskey just to get me through this? a tough time, you know? Normally I wouldn't drink, I wouldn't go down to...
Well, let's just have a look in my inventory. Let's see, what have I got?
Check the wares.
I'm just gonna hold out like a jacket, which basically is just full to the brim of booze.
There we go. I'll take that one. I'll just grab one randomly.
Whoa.
Yeah? The gin, sorry, is still in me that you gave me before. Is that gin? I mean, I drank it 2 days ago and I'm still tipsy.
It's good stuff, isn't it? All I'm saying is just, careful. This is not cheap stuff.
Alcohol is perfect at hiding emotions. It definitely does let them out. If I just drink my troubles away, I'm going to look like a normal person.
I tell you what, you take this. I'm just going to reach into one of my pockets, pull out a hip flask and just go, here you go. Now sip on that. You'll be fine.
You're like a young alchemist. Thank you, my boy.
And while this is happening, Thomas saddles up with Sapper and looks to you and says, I think you could pass as my dad. If that's all right.
I mean, I suppose if the choice is between me and an alcoholic and a borderline alcoholic, then yes, I will be your father for the purposes.
I was gonna be a dad once. I had the potential.
You're better for one night.
We were gonna have a family.
A woman gives you the slightest bit of attention, and it's, well, we were gonna have kids. We were talking about it, maybe.
Oh,
boy, we were going to talk about it.
I was going to name it Susan.
Oh, I tell you what I do have. I tell you, I've got this badge, see? This badge for the, what is that, ECB? What's he?
You do have an ECB badge.
What's ECB stand for? I can't remember.
Do you want to do a history check or bureaucracy check? Either one of them.
Bureaucracy on the go.
Because that's going to go well for me.
Yeah, we were just joking about giving you bureaucracy, but apparently you didn't want it. You can do history.
Check?
Yeah. History or bureaucracy is fine.
Has he shown it to all of us?
This is just for Irwine's sake of who he would have interacted with.
That's 11.
11? Oh, man, that's going to be fine. Do you remember that this is the Extraordinary Cases Bureau, the detective agency that specifically looks at things beyond even the normal levels of supernatural that exists in the world today.
Brilliant, perfect. That's right, gents. So this is like the abnormal cases bureau. Exceptional cases. It basically means it's great because it means like I'm supposed to be like with weirdos, so I can say I've taken you lot. A massive reek of alcohol just goes out of my mouth. Just like, oh, there we go. And then they'll think I've taken you lot prisoner and I'm taking you through the portal.
So, Owen, should we, pretend to do funny things? Like, act a bit out of place too? Go, have a weird hiccup every now and again?
Or a giggle? Just be yourself and you'll be fine, honestly. Trust me.
Okay. I can be myself.
I feel like that is not the best advice in this situation.
Okay, right. Here's what you're going to do. We're going to tie your hands behind your back and put a gag around your mouth.
I love it.
I mean, we can...
No.
Would you think it would get us past the...
Thomas nods furiously.
I definitely think it would. I think it'd be of great advantage to us all.
Okay. Go on then. I wouldn't. Can I have a swig first though before
look.
I go and
I'm just gonna say, look, I'll give you a swig once we've got you all sorted.
Okay. Here's my hands. Go on, I'm not resisting.
I mean it wouldn't matter if you were, though, to be honest.
Every time I shut my eyes, I see it fall. I'm sorry, yeah, go on, my
okay.
hands, yes.
And so I'm just going to pull out... Oh, do I have any cord? I don't have any cord or anything to tie him up with. Does anyone have anything... anyone got anything that might be useful for...
I've got this strangling garrote thing.
yeah, that's fine. You can use that as a gag to garrote your mouth.
No, maybe... I was just going to say, it's like a long metal string. If you could just put it around my hands, but not too tight, because this is usually used for medical... It's a medical instrument to usually take limbs off. So please don't wrap it too tight.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure, no problem.
Actually, can I get Sapper to do it?
Oh, no. It's fine. I've got it. Just put your hands behind your back. Oh, put your hands behind your back.
Okay.
It's fine. Just put it behind his, tie his hands behind his back. Just give it a nice big sharp tug.
Oh my!
There we go. So yes. Now wiggle your fingers.
Loosen it a bit more, please.
If you wiggle your fingers a bit, you're gonna be fine. Gonna be fine.
Okay.
You'll be fine. Just keep wiggling your fingers and loosen it a bit.
I feel it going through the skin.
You're fine. Right. Now have a swig of this. I'm just gonna pour the booze into his mouth. And then just go, right, okay, gag. And I'm gonna take my boot off. Take off one of my socks.
Nice.
And I'm just gonna stuff that into his mouth. Right, well, that seems to have been that seems to have gone quite well. He's quiet. First time, ever.
Thomas points towards the group as it starts to dissipate with the guild. If we were going to get cover from them, it's going to go away now.
Oh, yes, good point. Let's go. So, Sapper, you're my muscle. Tom, you're my... I guess you're Sapper's boy. And let's go. And we've got this man, Julius. Come on. Right, Julius, you're in front of me. I'm just going to draw the pistol I've got, the revolver. Just poke him sharply in the back ahead of me. Right, let's see how this goes. Right. Oh, I'm enjoying this. I'm just going to pin the badge onto my right breast. Ah, brilliant.
Wonderful.
Right, let's go.
So, as you walk up towards them, you can, of course, see this desk that's been set up at one of the entrances to the city. We've got guild guards kind of flicking through papers. You can just see thousands upon thousands of these wanted posters. And would anyone like to do a notice check as they're passing by on these papers?
I would love to as well, although I won't be able to say anything.
That's an 8 total.
8 total? Wonderful. So yeah, I'd say with an 8, you would recognise an image of Thomas on one of the wanted posters.
Do I flip?
I mean, you're welcome to flip.
Okay, can I flip the magician or is it the fate?
Whenever you're flipping a card, it's always the fate deck, and your card hand is only to be used for cheating. So if you want to draw 3 cards as well, that can be your cheat hand. Yes,
on the magician. I got a 10 of tomes.
Cool, that's fine. So you would notice this same piece of paper as well. Okay, so you see this sheet of paper that is a wanted poster for Thomas. What you do notice, though, is that you thought his name was Stearns for his surname, but actually that seems to be put as his middle name. Julius, you're the only one who notices the actual surname that's provided, which is Elliot.
Ah? I will kind of bend down to Thomas's ear and whisper in his ear, "Keep your head down, boy."
He says, yes, father. And he tilts his little head.
Sapper, you got a cap or something for him?
I got a hat.
You do have a hat.
I have a round helmet.
Cute.
Yeah, so you whack that on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these guardsmen are just flicking through the papers and just going, yeah, next, yeah, next, yeah, next. And then I'll give a stealth flip. Sapper, do you mind making yours first, please?
Five total.
Okay. They clock you straight away. They look you dead in the eyes as you come past and just pour a slight hand on your chest. Well, there were 2 seconds. And they start just flicking through, thinking he's trying to find something. You seem to have triggered his memory somewhat.
Can I help you, sir?
I said, wait just a second. He licks his finger and flips over a piece of paper.
Perhaps I can jog your memory. My name is David Paynes.
David Paynes. I don't quite recognize the name. Give him a convinced duel.
I get
or deception.
I'll use deception and I get an advantage thing on that because Ooh. Of my new thing.
Nice.
So that would be under social. So to see if I get a +1 anyway. 5 of rams and a 13 of masks. Ooh. I'll take the 13 of masks.
Yeah, you will.
So 14.
14, wonderful. That is going to be perfectly fine. Yeah, Dave Paynes. Wait, I knew a Dave Paynes. You got an English accent. Why did you move away from Santa Fe? I could have sworn you were in my gym class.
No. You must be thinking of a different David Paynes. It's quite a common name.
Hmm. All right, then. Well, as you were. And he lets you and the boy, obviously, if you're kind of talking with him, through.
Come on, son.
And that just leaves the duo.
Right. Hello. My name is Owain Gunn of the ECB. I've got here a reprobate suspected. A special case, as you know. Just going to elbow him in the ribs. And I've got to take him through to the see the boss on the other side, if you know what I mean. And give him a wink.
This one is going to be a bureaucracy. I'm afraid it has to be.
That's a minus. That's a 4.
It's a 4. See, he stretches in his chair and kind of looks like he's more ready to stand should the need arise. See, I'm quite aware that the headquarters of the ECB is Earthside.
Yes, that's quite true. Headquarters are, but I didn't say I was going to my headquarters, was I?
True.
I am going to see the boss, and the boss currently is Breachside.
Hmm. Can't fault that. Nope. What did you say your name was again?
Owain.
Owain.
Owain Gunn.
Owain Gunn. See, my problem is we got a renegade here that's deemed a special case. And over there we've got the greatest resource in the world. Now, without any papers preceding your arrival, which I don't have in front of me, I don't typically see why we would let him through.
Because he's under my protection, or rather, in my custody. You see this badge? This badge means something.
Uh-huh.
It means that I have the authority to take scum like this and do whatever I damn well please with them. And I'm taking him to the boss, who is going to put him through the ringer, find out exactly what he knows, who it could be damaging to, and he, if necessary, is going to end this poor, miserable wretch's pitiful existence.
Intimidate Jewel, please.
Might be better at this. Bind. Ooh, okay. Ooh. That is a 9.
9? That's fine.
Oh. Thank goodness.
Wait for something. Go on through. He looks as though he might check up on that one later.
Huh.
But he does let you through.
I'm going to just, again, jab Julius in the back and just walk straight past. Quiet scum.
Yep, you pass the guard post. The rest of the guards, they're fine as soon as they've seen someone pass through. Even though you've caused a little bit of a commotion and it's just kind of a guy with a sock in his mouth. They're just going to let you pass through. So you've got these rows of buildings along either side. You can see a few of them are for sale, to rent, that kind of thing. Post just outside them, staked in the ground. A lot of them just have their doors wide open. So if you wanted to, they're, you know, open, empty rooms to collect yourselves in. You can see further up the roads, loads more of these guards up and down the pathways that lead directly to this glowing portal in the center.
Right. Gentlemen, we've got a thing here. We have to get to the other side of that portal, right? Isn't that right, Tommy lad? That's what you said, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what Dahlia said for us to do, aren't we?
Let's see. If we've got to get to the other side of the portal, we've got to be careful, see, because if we take the gag off Chatterbox here, they might be like wondering who we are. But if we do the same play with my badge and all, we might be able to get to the other side, and then we can ungag Julius. Until then, I think we've just got to play it safe.
Yeah, I mean, if you think that's best.
Oh, yes.
I'm a bit worried about them kind of noticing us a bit more, though, I will say.
Well, thing is, and I'm just going to put my hands either side of Julius's ears. The thing is, if this one's allowed off the leash, the way he talks, they won't be able to not notice us. Especially he starts going on about Dahlia and all that. Shh, can't hear.
Okay, I'm just going to start shaking my head.
So, you know, we've got to, you know, got to make the decision.
Okay. No, that you're right. It's fine.
Sapper, what do you think?
I mean, this ruse has worked well before, so I don't see any reason we should change your winning formula.
Brilliant. So what do you say? Do we have a look around, or do we just head straight for the portal?
That's entirely up to you. As you guys are walking, Sapa, you have to hold out an arm to halt Thomas, who's checking this note over and over and just reading if there is any kind of further instruction from Dahlia, as he almost walks into the back of another guard. But this one only has a red sash wrapped around her waist rather than a full duster, and the guild emblem emblazoned on a wide-brimmed leather hat. She has a bottle of beer in one hand and a revolver in the other. Tucking him in one side, you manage to duck the swing of her bottle as she's drunkenly staggering about. It seems this kind of place, even the guild, are pretty lazy about how they hold themselves.
You know what? I feel things are pretty lax around here. Why don't we just try and go for it?
I I'll listen to you as the voice of reason.
Aha!
Yes, I think that's right. So,
what's the play, me and the boy here? I'm your muscle, and he's what, my apprentice?
He, well, let's say he's your lad coming along for the trip, because your wife passed away recently and you've got no one to leave him with. Oh, it's okay, I didn't mean, you know, she's fine, she's waiting for us on the other side of the portal. Julius, don't panic. Fine. So, yes, and obviously this is a dangerous suspected magic user.
Yes.
Wanted by the boss for a word with him. Let's say that. By the way, does anyone actually know who the boss is of this EDC? Because I've not got a clue. ECB. I don't have a clue who it is.
Can we roll some anyone? History checks, Danny? For
you're very welcome to. I will have to say that this will be a double negative twist on this. So you need to flip three cards and pick the lowest. And this would be history or bureaucracy.
I'll go for history.
Just as this is obviously a secret organisation. And so you'd only have to rely on hearsay.
My first was a three of rams. Mm-hmm. And my second was this little fella.
Beautiful. You'll need to flip one more card as well. Another three.
Can I
yeah,
Jed,
you could hear it, so you can do it.
You can do it. We're probably going to ignore you because you've got a gag in your mouth.
There we go. Ready. So, two. And my history is... I got an AV of three, so five.
Five total.
You know what? That was definitely worth it because we got rid of some really low cards.
Yeah, yeah.
For checks, unless we get into combat immediately and that's their first attack.
Nate, are you wanting to do one as well?
No.
Nope, okay. I'm afraid you don't really have a clue. To be honest, you two don't really know who the ECB are. It's just kind of a phrase. You might think of a construction company, but feel like you got a letter wrong somewhere. Yeah, you're not too sure.
Something to do with diggers, I think.
So yeah, you're still you can see the breach in front of you then. And with the guard patrols past, the majesty of Breachtown Central Square is finally in full view. A pop-up market has been set up for merchants travelling to the other world, selling their last wares earthside for perhaps the rest of their lives, aptly named The Last Market. Beyond it, of course, was the Iron Ram, a beauteous piece of engineering, currently billowing smoke as its engines were warming up. The armor train was the guild's pride and joy, transporting both official travelers and Earth's criminals breachside, and Soulstone's mind there back to Earth on the return journey. As one might expect, the Ram had no shortage of personal guard, both flesh and steel alike, most notable of which was a lumbering peacekeeper construct, a multi-limbed walking arsenal, named for its ends rather than means. The ticket booths were open, but with astutely long queues pouring from the gates, it seems obtaining a ticket may be some hours at least, imposing the risk of having to catch the next train. Oh, I didn't quite fancy hiding from the guild overnight. Anyone is welcome to take a history, engineering, or artifacting skill test at this point.
Right, let's see.
Can I do a history check?
You can do history, yep.
10 on top of 3. So,
13 for old Julius!
I'll roll one. I'll get a plus 4 to history. It's 11 total.
Yep, 11 total. Owain, are you wanting to make one as well?
I think I'll do engineering, because that's more what Owain would know about, I seem to feel.
Sure.
That's an 11.
Yeah, so all three of you recognize that the Iron Ram was constructed because journeys through the portal. You're told by the guild are dangerous. Your flesh can rip from its body, and you can see just looking at the Iron Ram, this thing isn't built for speed. It is built for surviving something. It's so bulky and heavy that so far beyond any normal train, that whatever it is journeying through, you need to be protected against.
Right. Is that potentially dangerous, gents? All I can say is that walking probably isn't our best bet, in all honesty. No, I think that would be disastrous, personally. Well, at least for some of us. Mostly you, all honesty. Right. Well then, what have we got to do here? Got to get through somehow. Can we? Ooh. How easy do you gentlemen reckon it'd be to rob a ticket?
Rob one.
As in, like, see someone who's got a ticket. Or a couple of people. And just entice them down an alleyway and beat the ever-living daylights out of them.
Can we not just buy a ticket?
I mean, the thing is, we'd have to queue up for so long. Like, have you seen? It's like ages. I'm not sure I want to do that.
Well, I mean, I reckon I could slip in with that family over there. And Thomas points a lower class family that's kind of clutching onto what little luggage they have. Dahlia gave me enough krona to buy us some tickets in here. I was trying to figure out what they are, but I think it's Danish money?
Ooh.
So I could jump the queue.
Oh yeah, if you could you jump the queue and get us like 3 tickets?
Yeah, yeah. Tickets on...
Four.
4 tickets.
Do we need a ticket for a prisoner?
I don't know, to be honest. I think probably, unless they're going in the holding cell with the other prisoners. Is that where he'd be going?
I mean... Yeah, probably.
You like this idea of a holding cell?
I think that could work. What do you think, Julius?
I'm just gonna shake my head like no, just please, no, I can only signal that. That's as
not,
much
not,
as I
not
can
a
signal.
Problem. Brilliant. Well, I'm glad
we agreed then. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So he gets ready to go off and then pulls out another wad of this money and hands it, passes it first to Erwine and says, I think Dahlia meant to give us this money to help us get by. You might want to blend in around the markets. So I guess here's some money that you might be able to spend there.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
So you recognise this is Danish money, which for most places on Earth probably isn't going to get you anywhere, you know, other than I was going to say Daneland, but Daneland isn't a place. What's Danish? I forget.
Denmark.
Holland? It's Holland.
Denmark.
The Danes.
Denmark.
I'm not good at words and places. Geography is my Achilles heel. I'm sorry, everyone.
Those Danes.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah, so outside of there, you wouldn't expect it to be legal tender, really. But from what you can see as you're looking around, there's all sorts of money being passed about at the last market. No one seems to mind too much. And with that, he passes you this cash and runs off, and you can see him talking to this family, and he seems like he's kind of got it.
Hey, I think he sorted it. Right, I think we'll be able to get through, gents. Fantastic. I think we might be okay, you know. Oh, calm down.
My criminal scum.
Yeah. Nah, that's good. That's what we want.
Oh, Safi, you've got a robot with you, haven't you?
I was waiting for an opportunity to ask. Yes, do I still have K8 with me? Yeah.
Yeah, if you would like to have had her tied to you,
sure.
Somehow. I mean, it's up to you because obviously she's got that walking impediment, hasn't she? Of just walking in circles a bit. If you had her tagged to you, I'll say that wasn't too off the books for anyone to have picked up on it. Looking around, you can see there's quite a few constructs about this place.
Okay. Eight is tied to my back, yeah.
You're carrying her. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, even less conspicuous then, because it just looks like you're taking a little broken robot around. Julius, you catch a flash of orange cloth walking past that no one else seems to see. And your eyes are drawn to an elderly lady interrupting the flow of people at the last market. A walking cane sweeping the ground. The woman must have been over 70, makeup running down her face like black rivers. As you get a better view, you can see more clearly that the symbols on her face represent tattoos of the Maori, tribesmen of New Zealand. And on top of those are painted images of a burning wicker man. The Great Breach has become a center point for a great many faiths and paths of life, and there's a general agreement that any such pilgrimage should peacefully be permitted towards it. She glances you up and down, holding a finger to her lips as her voice unravels in your mind.
Well, young man, you seem to be in an air of trouble.
The voice comes without accent, as if written text read aloud by your subconscious and applying an elderly woman's voice over the top.
I shan't waste your time, but I'm having a little trouble, and you're the eldest one I see with a hint of innate magic. I'm looking for something, you see. A great ley line convergence.
And you can think freely to her, and she seems to be able to hear your thoughts. Unless your thoughts are, ah!
I'll be honest, I wouldn't be entirely surprised.
My thoughts are mostly, oh my god, this hurts so much. Ow! The cord. I've lost blood flow to my hands for like 20 minutes now. Oh no. I'm gonna lose my hands, lady. If you could just like get this off my hand.
She's like, I don't think I should be doing that. You seem a little bit dangerous.
I'm a good person. No, it's a lie. I'm actually a really nice guy. They were just using me to get here, and I'm a good guy. We got through now. I don't know why they just don't take this off me. Oh, no.
She has no idea what you're on about. I mean, you're welcome to do a social duel of your choosing that fits that. Let's go with convince or bewitch.
Convince. It's 12, add 4, 16.
Oh.
16, amazing. She thinks for a moment. She does agree.
Do I notice that she's reading my thoughts now?
Yeah, well, you can hear her thoughts as much as she seems to be hearing at least what you've intended to send to her is all you can gather.
So she's talking, but her mouth is moving.
Yes, you can tell this is telepathy.
Oh,
yeah, quite clear to you that it is. She looks down to you and peers down, and her head's kind of tilted back a little bit and goes,
if you help me find this convergence point, I will help you.
Oh, lady, you are such a lovely person. I'm a master at convergence points. Yes, I know what they're all about. Yeah, of course, I'll find this convergence point. I just can't help when I'm like this, you know? And I promise I'll wrap myself back up and become, you know, where I was. You know, I just want to help you out. Help the elderly.
She shuffles her way over to you, as only small women can do. I think a lot of people can do that. It's probably not just small women that can do that. But she does shuffle over to you, and not many people notice. All the two of you are welcome to do notice checks to see if you do see this little old woman just sauntering her way towards Julius.
So that's an 8.
An 8 total? Cool. I'm going to say no on this one. I think she's managed to slip past that, unless you'd like to cheat.
I'm going to tell you now, that wouldn't help.
Okay. Sapper, would you like
to? Yeah, I'll draw one. That is a 6 plus 1. That's a 7.
I'm afraid no, you don't notice actually. Julius, good news for you. She manages to sneak up and appears to trip. And her little walking cane swings up and slaps the garrote around your wrists, which sounds like it would be pretty bad. However, you do feel that they loosen quite a lot around your wrists. No longer feeling pain from them, and you reckon that given quite a bit of thought and consideration and bending your hands in the right way, you might be able to slip them off at this point, but it wouldn't be still easy. I think she is still quite aware that you are a tied up potential criminal with a sock in his mouth. You know, I mean, pretty intimidating.
So basically my garrote is off my hands, or is it loosened?
It's not off your hands. You would need to attempt to remove them.
Can I just do the attempt to remove?
Immediately as a response?
Yeah, like, you know, as it's just loosened, just to pull my hands back, almost as a... to pull out. Because I'm going to expect that she's tried to take them off. So, and as they're behind my back, I'm just going to go to pull.
You're welcome to do that immediately if you like. That is really dangerous. I'm going to need you to do... We'll do hit pocket for this. And this is going to be a negative twist.
See, I don't know what she's doing. She's gone behind me, so I'm just going to... Okay. Eight. A negative twist. Eight and... Oh, no. Three.
You're welcome to cheat this if you like.
I'm gonna cheat a... Can I cheat in a five?
Yeah, a five. You aren't able to pull them out, and you're gonna potentially take some damage, so can you flip one card for me, please? And this is going to be a naught one damage. Okay, so no damage. You don't happen to suffer anything from it. You struggle against them. It feels like they're not all the way off, but they are definitely looser, and it doesn't hurt if you're not straining. And she then also tells you, don't move your hands in your head. Be careful.
Okay.
Don't do anything too rash.
Sorry. I thought you were just taking them off. My bad. I can't see. Thank you so much. That is a relief. Oh, I'm feeling blood again. Oh.
Well, you can thank me by holding up your end of the bargain.
Oh, of course, yes. The convergence. How do I track convergence? Is this something that I would know about?
Yeah. So give me any magical skill jewel.
I'm gonna put sorcery.
13.
You recognise the term.
Okay.
Ley lines are widely recognised in the world today as a surging of power around the Earth in wave-like patterns, and where different ley lines cross over each other is known as a convergence point, places where the veil between worlds is particularly thin and magic power can be more heavily drawn from. Not only do you feel as though you remember what they are, but as you're consciously trying to remember, you feel something. A pull towards the west of your current position, closer to the Iron Ram, drawing you to face it like a magnet. The breach, of course, was one such convergence point. That's kind of widely accepted. But this is another spot, very close to it, and very, very similar in power. Actually, not just similar. Intensifying.
So we had the convergence point, and I'm just pointing her towards with my nose to the convergence point, which almost seems weird to me because I've never really been taught this, but I just feel it. I'm just trying to be charismatic, and I'll be honest, I'm trying to fool myself too by just saying it's over there.
You feel like you're right about this. It's not even that you're just kind of like coming up with something to lie to an old lady, as I know you're trying to do. But you do get a wash of a feeling that you are completely right. And she thanks you and hobbles her way over there.
Are we in the train station right now?
You can see the train, yeah. But she's not going to, like, the portal or anything.
It's almost, like, three quarters between platform 9 and 10.
One might say that and make a reference, mightn't they? around 9 3/4 of the way to the train. Yeah, so she does, you can see that the guards kind of like let her be. They must be quite comfortable with religious passings coming through these parts quite frequently. She's right next to the ram, but they're not too bothered about her. They just see she's just kind of kneeling on the ground and going into prayer there.
Oh, nice.
You can feel a slight wane in the ley line she bows to, as if her presence begins to suck from its power, but it quickly returns to that swelling of energy. That's all we've got time for today. Next time, the trio look around the last market, scanning the wares and delights of Earth for the very last time. Will they keep their cover and board the Iron Ram? Join us for part 2 of Breach Town, Breach Down, and you may just find some answers. Thank you for listening to another episode of Fate and Fortune. We've had a fantastic reception so far, and would love to keep the ball rolling. If you like what you hear, please follow us on any of your social media, and if you're into that kind of thing, maybe leave us a review? We love hearing from you, and want to share our voices either side of the breach. Until next time, stay safe, listeners. No, really. Stay safe.